Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I must start by pointing out that 3 years after a horrific financial crisis caused by massive fraud, not a single financial executive has gone to jail, and that's wrong.
Remember that moment from the Oscars last year when Best Documentary winner Charles Ferguson, director of Inside Job, sounded off? Well, here was President Obama at the State of the Union address last week, as if to answer him.
And tonight I'm asking my Attorney General to create a special unit of federal prosecutors and leading state attorney general to expand our investigations into the abuse of lending and packaging of risky mortgages that led to the housing crisis. This new unit will hold accountable those who broke the law, speed assistance to homeowners, and help turn the page on an era of recklessness that hurts so many Americans.
And the president appointed to be a co-chair of the newly created Residential Mortgage-Backed Securities Working Group, none other than New York State's own Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, who joins us now. Attorney General, welcome back to WNYC. Is congratulations the right word?
I guess so, yeah. This is your reward for working hard in life is more work. So this is giving me an opportunity to work with a far broader, more powerful coalition of folks to dig in and investigate the conduct that created the bubble in mortgage-backed securities that crashed and brought down the American economy.
Now, to set up the question, why will this be different from what came before? I'm going to give you one question pop quiz, okay? Here is U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder. Tell me roughly when he said this, last week, last year, or way back in 2009.
This task force's mission is not just to hold accountable those who helped to bring about the financial meltdown, but to prevent another meltdown from occurring. By punishing criminals for their actions, we will send a strong message to anyone looking to profit from the misfortunes of others.
Okay, did Holder say that to reinforce the president's announcement of your working group last week, or during the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission last year, or in the very first year of the administration in 2009?
That was the announcement of the November 2009 creation of the Financial Fraud Enforcement Task Force. And that was a task force that brought a lot of cases, but really, as folks have pointed out, didn't dig in deeply into the big conduct that really blew up the economy. And I think the message that the president was delivering this week is that, frankly, it's partly that he's retooling how he wants to approach this, and he's willing to throw in more aggressively. But partly it's also just that things have changed, the circumstances have changed, the economy's changed. And Ryan, frankly, I think American politics has changed. I think the outcry for accountability, the outcry for a restoration of the American ideal of equal justice under law is has really just grown and grown in the last year. A year or so ago, when I first took office, we learned that there was a multi-state investigation going on where a bunch of AGs and some federal agencies were trying to negotiate a settlement with the banks over robo-signing and other abuses in the foreclosure process. And I learned that the banks, unsurprisingly, were aggressively trying to get immunity as a part of that deal from any for charges related to any of the misconduct that actually blew up the economy and put all these people into underwater mortgages where they owe more than the value of their homes and are in danger of foreclosure. I took a hard line saying, no, you don't release any pre-crash conduct. You don't release any of the fraud that actually brought down the American economy as a part of a settlement of abuses in the foreclosure process. And over the course of the last year, we've won that argument. Not me, but a whole coalition of progressive organizations, activist groups, academics, other AGs, people have stepped up.
Are you saying, when you say the politics have changed and the outcry has gotten louder, that President Obama wouldn't be taking this next step and holding the banks accountable were it not for the Occupy movement?
I don't know that I'd make that direct a connection, but I think the Occupy movement is an indication of a phenomenon that I've found as I've traveled around New York State everywhere. Look, we lost $7.4 trillion in home equity over the last 5 years as a result of the misconduct that, you know, that blew up the American economy. That's where the wealth of the middle class was. You want to know where the huge increased gap between the rich and the middle class came from? That's a big reason. And it had a disproportionate impact on African American and Latino communities because of the wealth of the equity in their homes was where people had their money. So there was a huge collapse. The people were, I think, you know, nervous about what was going to happen economically in 2009. But the as things stabilized and as the banks stabilized, people started to say, well, okay, this is great. Now we're realizing what the situation is we're left in. We want relief. We want to get bad loans written down. We want to understand why the people holding the bad mortgages are the only folks who are paying the price. And I think that has empowered me and empowered others who want to look at this, including folks in the administration, to take a more aggressive stance. I don't believe in, you know, the sort of the great man theory of politics. I think that leaders lead when there are movements to back them up and support them. I think George Bush was not a very impressive figure as a leader, but he had a very powerful conservative movement behind him, so he was able to advance that agenda. I think we now have a much stronger progressive movement demanding accountability, demanding relief for homeowners and investors, demanding that these guys not be able to rewrite history and pretend that deregulation wasn't the major cause of this problem. And I think that's empowering me and others who want to do this, including folks in the administration, to take the more aggressive stance that the president announced last Tuesday.
New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman with us, appointed by President Obama to be co-chair of the newly created Residential Mortgage-Backed Securities Working Group. Where will you start? What kinds of possible criminal behavior do you think you will look at first, and how will you decide where to look?
Well, the critical areas that we're going to investigate there's a variety of conduct and misconduct that led to the artificial inflation of the housing bubble. And what happened here, in fact, is pretty well documented. Mortgage-backed securities are not complicated investments. It's just a bunch of mortgages that are deposited into trusts. They're all New York or Delaware trusts, which is an important element of this, and it's an important reason to have New York working along with the feds. There were a bunch of mortgages deposited in a trust. You buy a share of that trust, you're getting this part of the stream of income of those mortgages. And 10 years ago, when pretty much all of us had 30-year fixed-rate mortgages, they were good investments. What happened was the market was changed. Banks were allowed to put aside less capital to back up mortgages. A bunch of other deregulatory stuff took place. And the next thing you know, we switched from the lend and hold model, where a bank would lend you money, the purpose being to finance your home, to what I call the securitization machine. And it was just this panicked effort to get as many mortgages as possible, deposit them in trusts, bring in the underwriters and sell off the shares of trust, go get more mortgages, throw them into another trust. And that's really the desire to have mortgages of whatever quality, just so you could have more trust and sell more shares of these mortgage-backed securities. That's really what drove the bubble up.
Where's the line, though, between sloppy and criminal in that?
Well, that's why we have an investigation. And I think it's very important to understand that there are three areas action that we can take as a result of the investigation we're going at. One is when there are things that, and sloppy is really, I wouldn't use the word sloppy. If you're allowed to be that sloppy, then there's a problem with the regulations. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sort of like, you know, if a street is legally covered with garbage, then you got a problem with the Department of Sanitation's rules. So I think what we're looking at is misconduct that was technically legal but shouldn't have been, and we have to work with the folks in the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and work with the people seeking to implement Dodd-Frank to make sure that we make sure this never happens again.
Right, and maybe the better question would have been, where's the line between greedy and criminal?
Well, and then there's some stuff that was illegal that might require disgorgement of profits or for banks to write down principal of mortgages, which is a central goal for me of this whole venture. I mean, we have to get this negative equity out of the marketplace and get some of these homeowners back to the point that they can make payments on their mortgages without being paralyzed. And then the third is criminal conduct. And I think civil liability, criminal conduct, and changing the laws to make sure this never happens again, those are three aspects of the relief I think we're going to be pursuing through this investigation.
On the relief for homeowners currently at risk, thanks to our business editor, Charlie Herman, I've been reading some bank industry analyst report from companies like Keefe, Bruyette & Woods and the Guggenheim Washington Research Group. And just before the State of the Union, Guggenheim was forecasting that a deal was very close between the state attorneys general and the banks to help more homeowners who are currently at risk of foreclosure. But with the president's get tough stance creating your working group, that deal is now probably postponed or dead, they say, because the banks see more lawsuits and costs coming. So is that an unintended consequence that's in the interest of the American people, especially struggling homeowners, or not?
No, I don't think so. I think if there are various folks at banks who make different statements, and there's been a set of negotiations. This set of negotiations is the same set of negotiations I walked in on a year ago when I realized they were trying to get a broad release for all of their prior misconduct. So this has been going on for a long time. I think they've gotten a lot closer, but the negotiations are going on now. I think that it's not like the banks have walked away from the table. My colleagues and I are involved in negotiations about possibly getting relief in the interim before my working group even is able to complete its investigation. So I don't buy it. If the banks want to posture that way for negotiation purposes, they can, but I don't think that's the reality.
The analysts also see your working group as potentially bad for the current housing market and aspiring new homeowners, because with less money to risk, it'll cause the banks to stay tight on new mortgage underwriting. Do they have a point there?
No, I think that absolutely the opposite. In fact, the Federal Reserve Board, which is not exactly some left-wing housing advocacy group, issued a report 2 weeks ago saying that it was essential for the economic recovery of the country for the banks to write down principal on mortgages for the exact relief we are focused on to come into effect. I think that it is not really the problem right now is you get people who have scientific or economic opinions that everyone, in the interest of moral equivalence, tries to publish everything, and every crackpot theory gets equal treatment. The truth of the matter is that I think all responsible economists agree that the weight of the 15 million families who are underwater, that they are struggling every month just to pay their mortgages because their mortgages are worth more than their homes are, that is holding back our economic recovery. When the Federal Reserve says that's a problem and that the bank should be looking at ways to write down principal to help those folks, that's a pretty good indication that the type of relief we're pursuing is consistent with good banking policy and good economic policy.
Eric Schneiderman, New York State Attorney General, appointed by President Obama after the State of the Union address as co-chair of the newly created Residential Mortgage-Backed Securities Working Group. And after you go, we'll be continuing this conversation with New York Times business columnist Gretchen Morgenson, who wrote a piece on Sunday called "It Has a Fancy Name, But Will It Get Tough?" And one of her points was that most of the fines so far for wrongdoing in the housing bubble have been against companies, not individuals, which means that just the wrong people, as she sees it, are feeling the pain, the shareholders rather than the wrongdoers. Only one case has involved clawback of executive compensation. Do you think that's a problem in the way the SEC has pursued these cases so far?
Well, I don't want to comment on the work of the folks I've just started working with, but there has been a lot of criticism of some of the settlements that have taken place. I mean, there have been criticism from judges of some of the settlements that have taken place. I think the critical thing here is that we now have, with this working group, jurisdiction to accomplish something far broader. And I think the point that Gretchen made in her story on Sunday, which I think is a very critical point, is that there are a lot of private litigants who have already dug up a lot of evidence. And I think one of the things that we're going to be doing here is making sure that we don't reinvent the wheel. But there are three things you need in order to finally air this out and finally get the full investigation and accounting that America is demanding. You need to have the jurisdiction, and the groups that were put together in this working group. And I was very clear that I was only going to participate as a co-chair if we had the right people and resources on the team. We have now a team that includes not just the FBI and Justice and the SEC, but the IRS because of the tax issues. It has the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has a host of new powers and staff that they bring to the table. Having my office there with our jurisdiction over the Delaware Trust and with our more flexible securities laws, we have the jurisdiction. We need the resources, and we're working right now to ensure that we have the resources to pursue this aggressively and quickly. And you need the will. And I think the president's eloquent statement in the State of the Union that we need one set of rules for everybody, and we need to remind the American people that we have one set of rules for everybody, reflected a fact that we have the will to go forward with this. So I think that, look, Gretchen has written brilliantly about this. Actually, her book, Reckless Endangerment, was a great account of the bubble and the crash, of how the conduct that blew up the economy and the reckless deregulation that led to it. She makes a very good point. There's a lot of work that has been done, some of it by government entities, some of it by private litigants. We're going to build on all of that work as we go forward. I'm going to be back down for a meeting with the working group next week, and you know, going over staffing issues and going over some of the specific things we're going to be doing within the next few weeks. You will see, and the American people will see, action from this working group very quickly. A bunch of subpoenas have already gone out. Cases will be filed, and this is not something that people are going to have to sit around for 6 months before they see results.
And of course, there are Republicans and conservatives who are suspicious of the existence of the timing of the creation of this working group, saying this is political, and your job is really to come up with some trophies for President Obama's reelection campaign. Your response to that?
I listen to what the conservatives say, and it gets more and more unhinged from reality every week, it seems. So from my point of view, I'm the New York State Attorney General. I've been traveling around the state talking to homeowners who are suffering the consequences of misconduct that wasn't their misconduct, demanding that the people who actually engage in the misconduct have some accountability. We have 1 in 10 mortgages in New York headed for foreclosure. Suffolk, Nassau, Queens, and Brooklyn are the hardest hit counties. This is very real to me. And one thing that's very important for people to understand, I don't give up any of my own jurisdiction because I am a co-chair of this working group. I'm pursuing the same cases that I was pursuing before. We're aggressively going after the folks whose reckless conduct blew up the economy, and we're looking to call out the regulators who were asleep at the switch that enabled this to happen. So I'm doing the same thing I was doing before. I just now have a lot of new leverage and allies and friends and resources, and having the jurisdiction of people or entities like the FBI, the IRS, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, that just increases my ability to get the job done. But no, this is not something that is going to be about getting trophies. This is something that's going to be about getting justice.
A listener on our website wants to know if you're going to go after Fannie and Freddie also, investigate them like you're investigating the ungovernment-connected banks. And he writes, let me see if I understand this. The government forced banks to put people in homes they couldn't afford, and now we're going to arrest bank loan managers for promoting mortgages to people who couldn't afford them.
This is one of these great, you know, conservative fantasies that they're selling, that they're trying to blame federal housing policy for the meltdown in the American economy. Freddie and Fannie have to do principal reductions as well as the banks have to do principal reductions. And I would point out again, to emphasize the broad scope of the jurisdiction of the working group I'm co-chairing, the inspector general who oversees Freddie and Fannie is a member of our group. That's someone whose jurisdiction is rolled in to the investigation we're conducting. So, yes, Freddie and Fannie have to be at the table to get the relief we're seeking. But the notion that the issuing of these bad mortgage-backed securities is the fault of the government programs to try and encourage home ownership is absurd. I mean, it's really just, you know, this is like denying global warming. That's no responsible economist would tell you that this is what happened. You can see how up until 200, and this is all just statistics. You can see up in 2003 how the mortgage-backed securities market was working. Interest rates were low. A lot of homeowners thought they should refinance. A lot of renters thought, well, I can do better buying. And then interest rates started to go up. People should have stopped taking out mortgages. What happened was, instead of just letting the party die down and issue fewer mortgage-backed securities, the lenders and the banks, the sponsors of these pools of securities, just lowered their standards. And Ryan, you can see the number of interest-only loans, negative amortization loans, where you pay every month but you actually owe more money, no documentation loans. You can see how they went up in 04, 05, 06. You can see the quality of the securities degenerating and how they started to sell mortgage-backed securities to people further afield. By the time you're selling to pension funds in South Australia because the folks closer to Wall Street won't buy them anymore, that tells you something about what's happened to the market. So the market abuse really was in this period of 04, 05, 06, long after these federal housing programs that are being vilified by the right-wingers had already, you know, had their effects.
New York State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman, he's just been appointed by President Obama, co-chair of the newly created Residential Mortgage-Backed Securities Working Group. You heard him say it's not going to be a lot of sitting around. They're going to produce results pretty quickly. And Attorney General, thank you very much in going so into depth with us on this today. And I hope you'll come back and report on your progress.
I look forward to it, Brian. Thanks.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC will continue this conversation with Gretchen Morgenson from the New York Times in just a minute. And the phones are open now. You just heard from Attorney General Schneiderman. What did you make of his argument? Is the look at the mortgage-backed securities the right first step? Too little, too late? Sounded to my ear as if he said the Occupy movement actually really did have a lot to do with being created in the first place instead of President Obama just letting it drop. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. We'll continue in a minute.